Saturdays.
Good evening, Cam Fraser.
Hey, man. Good to be back.
Always good to be doing the A to Z of sexual fetishes. We've done a lot of letters so far. I think we're about halfway through the alphabet. You can catch all the letters that we've already done on the Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up podcast with the Sex Saturday special podcast edition. I believe we're up to the letter M. M for Mazel Tov, or in a sexual sense, what is it?
I've got M for masochism, which is deriving enjoyment or sexual gratification from experiencing pain.
Yeah, I've heard it's one of the big ones. Isn't it? One of the big ones. And I guess my straight away thoughts are you go to a dark dungeon with a dominatrix and some boss CEO who like is sick of delivering all the power in his real life and then just getting whipped and banged about. But is this less of an emotional dominating thing and more of a physical sense of just pain in general?
Well, it can kind of be broken down into two. So you're right in saying that there's like an emotional component to it as well. There's some sort of humiliation can sometimes play into it, like being humiliated or having someone have power over you. That's kind of one of the big reasons why people are interested in or want to explore or find arousal from masochism is kind of someone having control or having power over them. And then there's also the physical side of it as well. So whether it's from being spanked or flogged or from being bound and gagged or having hot wax dripped on you, whatever it is, the infliction of pain as well and the way that stimulates the body can be experienced obviously as pain, but also kind of transmuted into pleasure as well. So it can really enhance a sexual situation.
I'm not here to yuck anyone's yum. Everyone knows if they listen long enough that I'm a sick freak with my own little bounds. But for me, the masochism thing, I guess I'm just so deeply ingrained and associated with pain being bad. Ooh, you want to avoid pain in life. Ooh, physical pain. You've had a bad day. Ooh, you didn't do that by purpose. As I've, over the years, girls have tried to test boundaries with me and whatnot, like sort of pinch me or like scrub. I remember a girl dug her nails into my back like real hard, like that was her thing. And I was like, God. I was actually too afraid at the time to say no, but I think I lost erection because of it. And I just, there's nothing, the candle wax thing, none of these things I can really see as like transitioning into some sort of pleasurable sexual experience. For me, it's, I don't know if it's an emotional gap or it's just not my thing.
Yeah, and you're right, man. Like there'll be people that are just never going to have that experience, or maybe it's something that's they tried and it just doesn't do it for them. And so there's a guy who does some work around kinks and fetishes who likes to talk about how it's part of our sexual identity. It's part of our sexual makeup. And some people are just kinky in their sexual makeup and other people aren't. It's kind of like how some people are heterosexual, some people are homosexual, and it's just part of their sexual identity. So so it's an interesting kind of thing to experiment with. And I think, you know, if you're trying it out and exploring and experimenting in a really safe, consensual way, then and you learn it's not your thing, then, you know, more power to you. But there's quite a lot of people that are into it. And, you know, the scene that you painted, which is going to a dungeon and, you know, doing some practices with a dominatrix, that could be one side of it, that could be one extreme of it. But it doesn't have to be like that. Some people might just be into a little bit of back scratching or spanking in the bedroom, or you know. So there's tolerances as well, right? And levels of pain that you're experiencing. It doesn't have to be you know, going to that maybe more extreme side of things. It could be a little bit more subdued.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to N. N for Nelly. What is it in the sexual realm?
For N, I've got nasolingus, which is the act of getting pleasure from sucking another person's nose.
Oh, here we go. I may not be a masochist, but I'm a real nasolingist. I'll tell you that. No, I'm not. The nostrils. Ooh, interesting. Probably my sixth and seventh favourite holes on the human body. But that's interesting. I remember, I think my first girlfriend, we were experimenting around it. Like we'd blow like up each other's nostrils. I think that was more, we were just experimenting with how our air cavities worked and whatnot. But how interesting, sucking on the person's nose, getting right in on the little button.
Yeah, and there's a couple of ways to kind of like think about why this might be something that people are interested in. And the kind of first is, you know, we've got a lot of nerve endings in the face and in the nose. And so when we suck on someone else's nose or kind of kiss them around that area, they have quite a strong reaction. And so part of the feeling of, you know, doing that and seeing another person's reaction is kind of what plays into the arousal that we might get from it. You know, there's quite a lot of erogenous tissue in the nose as well, so erectile tissue. So, you know, interestingly, when we get aroused, not only do our genitals swell up, but our noses swell up as well. So there's this kind of like direct link between the nose and the genitals, which is quite interesting. So there is, and then there's like the idea that it could be like sucking on like a little phallus, or, you know, sucking on like a little clitoris or something like that. So it's just there's a few ways that people might be interested in this.
Well, it's interesting. It's the telltale sign. Never realized that before. Beware. Oh, look like someone's getting excited. Little nose boner I see over there. Learning lots with men's sex coach Cam Fraser, the A to Z of sexual fetishes, LMNO.
Omurashi, which is it's actually a subculture, a fetish subculture from Japan, which is experiencing arousal from having a full bladder, or wetting yourself, or wearing a diaper, or from seeing someone else experiencing a full bladder or wetting themselves.
Yeah, it's a real wide net, this one. There's no single person who has turned on my omurashi. Yeah, this is a real curly one. Oh, great. I remember doing a radio stunt a couple of years ago where people were claiming that you could orgasm from just that feeling of letting go of a wee after a really long time, basically like at your very limits. Which you can't deny is a pretty good feeling. Sometimes if you're in a taxi or something, you can't get anywhere and you're bursting for a wee, and then you hit that threshold, you're like, no, I need to go now. Pull the taxi over. That's one of the great feelings. And so I wore a nappy and drank litres of water all night until I couldn't hold it anymore, and then peed myself live on air with the hope of achieving peak peegasm, which, yeah, I pretty much did actually. So, yeah, I'll probably put a tick on that one. Bingo, guys. Bingo. Then I got scared because I forgot how a nappy worked, and it felt like I was like full to the brim and it was going to like just burst and come out of my legs any second. But then when I went to the toilet, I like hobbled all the way to the toilet, and then I realized, oh no, it's got that silica gel stuff and it just expands. So I had a new appreciation for the technology of nappies then as well, which was good.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're 100% right, man. And I often say to people as well, like, you know, there's, in terms of that scope of pleasure, like pleasure and that heightened state of pleasure isn't just limited to orgasm. And so one of the random examples that I often offer when I talk about expanding our definition of pleasure is like when you really need to go pee, and you after a long time you end up going to the bathroom, and it just feels good to kind of let go and to release. And so that experience as well can, like you said, can have a little peegasm. And like also the idea of like having like arousal and sexual stimulation with a full bladder as well has been known, because of the pressure of the bladder on other areas of the kind of pelvic floor can heighten sensations and can heighten stimulation as well.
Oh, that's interesting. And PS, I've been weeing way too frequently at the moment. I'm going to treat myself to a peegasm a little later on. I'm going to hold fire for a couple of hours. I'm getting excited just talking about it. But I've always been one of those people that thought that the pee tube, so to speak, and the semen tube are two things that can easily get mixed up. So usually if I feel that a bit of sex is about to come on and I need to go for a wee, I'll be, oh, excuse me for a second, I just need to go to the toilet, because I feel otherwise I'll get my wires crossed and it'll be six of one, half the dozen of the other, and then I won't end up peeing or ejaculating.
Yeah, so that's a common myth. It's actually you can't, for the most part, you can't pee if you've got an erection and if you're in a heightened state of arousal. It's very difficult to do. So unless you've trained yourself to do it, you're more than likely that's not going to happen. But yeah, it is something that a lot of people are afraid of as well. And also, not even people with penises, people with vulvas as well have a similar fear that if they're needing to go to the toilet and they end up climaxing, that they might pee instead of maybe orgasming. And so it is a fear, but it's an unfounded fear. It's actually quite difficult to do unless you've specifically trained your body to do it.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you can't pee with an erection. I think my morning wood and morning piss would have to disagree with you there, Cam Fraser. I've pulled some very contortionate moves at 9 a.m. when I've woken up. Let's move on to pee. What is pee?
So for you, mate, I've got something for you to tick off, is podophilia, which is a partialism to the feet. It's arousal from the feet.
Bingo! Bingo! Three of a kind tonight. Yes, it is true. I do have a foot fetish. Slowly unraveling the psychology of my foot fetish, though, I've realised over the time that it's actually more the excitement of a foot in a heel rather than just a bare foot itself. I guess I can liken it to, you see like a very beautiful woman in a bikini and you're like, oh, wow, that's gorgeous. And your mind thinks that maybe it would be better if you saw them nude. And then they take off the bikini. You're like, oh, wow, you're still gorgeous. But I kind of liked you better with the bikini when there was a bit more of a surprise going on. At least that's how I feel with the heel and the foot, the high heel, the stiletto amongst the toes. So is that still, am I still a podophile?
Yes, for sure. There's all these extensions. Some people are into socks, some people are into shoes, some people are into the smell of the foot. There's all these different subcultures and subcategories of podophilia, man. So you're in good company.
Yeah, I love it. And I mean, I don't know. I feel there's way more people with a foot fetish out there than people who pretend that they don't have a foot fetish. I don't know why it's so bastardized. But it's also kind of good that I have this, because sometimes every now and then, like some tricky femme will like say, oh, you only like thin women because magazines tell you that that's what to expect. Or you only like big boobs because you've been brainwashed by pornography, that that's what guys are supposed to like. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, why do I have a foot fetish then? Because you're brainwashed not to like feet, and feet are disgusting. Boom. Checkmate. Another game of chess, my lady.
Yeah, you're 100% right, man. There is like this, even though it is the largest, most prevalent sexual fetishism, other than like the your ones that are related to genitals and secondary sex characteristics, it's the most common. So the fact that people aren't maybe owning up to it or have a bit of stigma and taboo around kind of admitting that they've got that fetish is, I think like is. I'm great that people like you are talking about it, man, because there's a lot more people that than maybe there isn't. And so this idea of like connecting to this part of the body and why we might find this area more arousing than, say, the hands, for example, why don't we have like such a major hand fetish is possibly because, again, the taboo of the feet, they're kind of supposed to be considered gross or smelly or you know, unhygienic or whatever. And so we kind of rail against that subconsciously, and we find those things that we've told that we can't like, we actually end up liking them more because of the that kind of the messaging we've had around that. So so that kind of plays into it. There's a whole bunch of theories. Actually, again, you know, studies into fetishism is a very interesting kind of area of research, but there's a whole bunch of different theories with regards to like where these types of partialisms come from. And you know, some say that it's from an experience that you had in childhood where you were like really enamored by someone's feet or someone's legs or someone's part of their body. And that was like a really pivotal moment for you in terms of your development. And that's kind of been eroticized and sexualized in later life. There's a whole bunch of different ones, but it's just a very interesting kind of area to unpack.
Yeah. Grade 10, girl called Tiana, ballet flats. That's what did it for me. Own your foot fetish, guys. Own it. I'm still going to say foot fetish. I'm not going to go around saying I'm a podophile. Cam Fraser, men's sex coach, cam-fraser.com and the Cam Fraser on Instagram. We'll chat next week.
Thanks, man.
Sex Saturdays.